I'm player one, Toby.
And I am player two, Goose.
And we are the Secret Levels Podcast.
We are a very short, fast, and funny podcast about the classic video games that you love and some newer ones. We slam through them one episode at a time. We try to keep it within the 30-minute limit and keep you that fast and funny, which we only deliver, folks.
And we're going to touch on games from all different types of systems, from Nintendo to Sega to PlayStation.
We're doing from 1942 to Zelda, because we're not counting numbers. Everything's a part of the alphabet here on this show.
So check out our show on all the major podcasting platforms and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Secret Levels Pod.
Do that or get a game over, folks.
I'm Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod.
My name is Ichabod Crane.
Name's MacGyver.
Colonel Jack O'Neill, SG-1.
I am Batman!
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
So there's this man, he has a time machine. Up and down history he goes, zip, 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 getting into scrapes.
For years, and maybe more than that, right, Mac? But how long has it been? Has it been 6, 7 years ago?
Are you telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Hey, now wait a minute. Now wait just a minute.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day.
I've got something for you.
Oh, merci, Sonor.
Just one more thing, sir.
Oh, boy.
Just like that, bing, bang, boom.
At this point, I'd settle for the boom.
They'd love it here, don't you think?
This is what I'm saying.
And by the way, where is your podcast? Tell everybody that's here.
Welcome to the Never Gets Old Podcast. Podcast of all we love in TV, movies, music, and comics. With your hosts, Mac Jackson and Nathan Schell. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and YouTube. Donations at paypal.com at macwjackson@comcast.net.
Listen to my chapin' songs. DJ saying that they're too long. His guitar may be silenced, but his soul goes on and on. Alone again, alone again. His stories were like us, a beginning and an end. Alone again.
Now I listen in my room. Hi, everybody. And welcome to the Never Gets Old Podcast, your podcast of all you love in TV, movies, music, and comics. I'm your host, Mac Jackson.
And I'm Nathan Schell.
And hey, I don't know if you know, but there's this virus thing
going around.
About. I don't know if anybody's picked up on it. But yeah, we're kind of living in history at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's the weird thing. Like, if you, funny enough, if you look back 100 years and then 200, 300, 400 subsequently back, apparently this is a historical trend. There's always some kind of fairly major pandemic, I think is the term. And pandemic is kind of a scary word, but ultimately the definition is a disease or virus that has affected multiple countries, if not the globe. Yeah, so it's more of a factual word than a scary word, really.
Right. Well, but for those of you, I mean, I know, here's the thing. I know we're dating this episode by mentioning this, but you know what? We had to do it because it is history. Like,
oh,
Mikey,
absolutely, and
son,
it is something that is affecting everyone's lives from.
Yeah.
Daily routine being upheaved to, you know, everything else in between.
My son has pointed out, he's like, wow, we're living in history. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I went to go pick him up at school, and I just pull up the car, call, and they come out. Mm-hmm. Well, the teachers are waving me in. And I'm like, okay, what? And then they're like, yeah, you got to get all his books. And it's more than he can carry. It's more than a backpack's worth. And they were shutting down the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also trying to push the chocolate milk on us, too. You know, because it's going to go bad. And it was funny. They're like, no, no, take two.
I didn't even think of stuff like that.
And, you know, it's weird what we're going through right now. That's, for me, that's how I'm defining it. It's weird. Because I'm inconvenienced. I'm not suffering. Thank God Cindy and I both have jobs. She's at home working with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the option if I want to work from home. As a matter of fact, yesterday they called me in to say, are you still good? Do you still want to be here? And I said, yeah, because everything I do, I have to print and scan and get signed. And I can't do that if I'm home. They're like, well, there's workarounds. I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to scan my stuff for me. You may legally sign it somehow through like an online stamping, whatever.
Yeah, there's a number of because I've had to become familiar with it. There's a lot of different procedures and things that they can do, which is basically an electronic signature.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same thing as an actual signature.
No, but it gets the job done.
Yeah, it acts as a digital legal binding agreement or something. I forget the full terminology.
Well, that'd be all great and swell, except nobody would then print out my stuff and scan it in, which would mean whenever this was over, I would still have to go back in. And on top of my job, now, you know, get the giant stack and spend a couple days just scanning, then go into the computer, naming each file, and putting it in the right folder. No thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and people that are our home, which is 95, 98% of our building, still have to have a 2 times a day check-in through a conference call. Shoot me. I don't need that.
Well, mostly it's to make sure that the people that are at home are actually working and not just, you know, watching TV or movies or whatever.
And there is a thing that you have to touch your computer screen once every minute. I hate it. Because it was a thing that was set up for people who are on the phone, like answering incoming phone calls, you know, the help center. But they're using it for everybody, and that doesn't work. It's not fair. Because a lot of what I do is up and away from my computer or just down, you know, writing on a piece of paper.
Yeah, while you're,
So it's not an accurate way to measure what we do. And they go, you know, that number's a little low. And I said, I don't care. I'm full of anxiety over this, and it doesn't. I shouldn't be.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, it's a bit of a silly thing to. It's a bit of a silly thing to obsess for them to obsess over, quite honestly.
Well, there you go. That's a completely different pile of comments. But I said, look, I don't need to be home. Let me be one of the guys that comes in. And now we are at the point where cops might pull you over to ask you, why are you out? I have a letter in the car.
Funny enough,
such an occasion.
I had to print out one of those for my mom because her printer is acting screwy right now. So she's like, I need this just in case I have to go into work. I'm like, all right, well, I'll print it out and I will see you probably on Friday. Because throughout all of this, I got some bummer news. My aunt passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Natural causes is what it looks like, unfortunately. But
when was that?
Last Monday.
Oof.
Yeah, it's rough, but I had to laugh. Monday night, I was sitting watching something or other, and I was scrolling through my video game system, checking to see what games I could download demos for and stuff like that. And one of them was an advert for Doom Eternal, which is like whatever iteration of the Doom franchise games. Castlevania, the latest ones are apparently available through this thing called Game Pass. And I was just sitting there thinking, wow, you know, I remember playing those games on my aunt's computer when I was younger. And it's just kind of like a fond memory had kind of like flooded back a little bit. And in hindsight, I kind of wonder if that was someone's way of saying, you know, you're going to be okay. I was sure. thinking of you type thing. It's like, well, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm looking at it as a positive, you know, as a positive.
And, agreed.
I mean, it's unfortunate that my aunt passed away, but fortunately, she won't have to worry about going through all this stuff with the self-isolation, quarantine, and everything, because, I mean, she had breathing problems to begin with, so just the sheer fact that, well, I mean, she was a lifelong smoker, and she'd even gotten lung cancer, and we're fairly sure, even after she had the cancer go into remission, she was still smoking.
Oh, jeez. Well, yeah.
But I look at it this way. She's no longer in pain. She's hopefully in a better place. Mm-hmm. So,
but this is weird time. Like, you know, I'm inconvenienced. That's it. Yeah. That's my level of discomfort. I'm not suffering. Thank God we both have our jobs. Life goes on. You know, I feel bad for the people who got laid off, and
yeah, fortunately, Governor Wolf seems to be trying to do everything he can to ensure that people that are laid off are going to be immediately able to, you know, get compensated for their time that they're away from work. Like Jess, fortunately, knock on wood, she is she's his custodian at the local high school,
right?
So they're temporarily out of work, but the superintendent, I can't think of the guy's name, but he's really going to bat for them, saying, look, you know, we're going to keep you guys in the loop of everything going on, not just the emails for the parents where they talk about, you know, meals being made available and assistance and blah blah blah, you know, but they're also saying, you know, we're going to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that you're getting paid, even though you're not going to be physically in the building doing work, because it's the whole, well, if the building's not being used, what would be the point in cleaning it type thing, you know? So he had come out and said that the plan is when they are able to start having the students back in school, they're going to be either returning, I think she said the week prior or a few days prior, so they can do a deep clean, get everything, you know, prepped and whatnot for them. So, I mean, there's that, fortunately. But, like, I'm just amazed at some of these outfits that are trying to claim, oh, well, we're essential, we're essential. It's like, unless you were providing a life-sustaining service, like, I don't know, the hospital, fire, police, I could understand food delivery services, you know, being needed. GameStop? No. Yeah,
what about that, huh?
Yeah. Sorry,
nice try,
you're
guys.
You're not essential. Yeah, it's like, weird flex, you're not essential. I'm like, I was sitting here talking with my buddy Pat about it the one night. I'm like, yes, it's convenient because if, you know, if you're a gamer, you like entertainment or whatever, yeah, they'll have stuff that you can get. But you can get that stuff off of Amazon. You can get it digitally through most of the gaming platforms. You can just get a digital copy of it, you know. Yep. It's not necessary for a brick and mortar store to be open for something like that. But yeah, like, I've been seeing a lot of companies. I think DoorDash is the one that my wife and I use for food delivery, and they have set up.
I remember when you first did that too.
Yeah, it's nice because you can call them or you can arrange your food, and they'll deliver it. Well, now they have it where you can set it up for no contact delivery, where they won't even touch you, you know, because every now and then, you know, when you're getting a pizza delivery or whatever, your hand bumps the guy's hand or lady's hand or whatever, like, oh, sorry, you know, what have you. So it's good to see that a lot of these companies who are trying to still help people out, but also trying to be socially conscious about things. But yeah, it's just, it's maddening to see the people that aren't quite getting it.
Well, that was the one of the big things I wanted to talk to you about, more to praise and vent. I'm seeing like four different things happening in the world right now because of this. And what order do I want to do this? There's
There's the good, which is when you see the spontaneous acts of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people being extra good. It's the whole Christmas time feeling that I get.
Yeah.
Where like I've here's your excuse people... to be a good person type of thing.
Yeah. Like, I've seen a couple people where they've gone into grocery stores and they've bought stuff, and at, like, the checkout, somebody would remark, like, oh, well, I couldn't find this.
Sure.
Well, here, you know, I don't need it. It was just convenient having an extra loaf of bread or 2 4-packs instead of, you know, 1 4-pack of toilet paper, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to see that level of camaraderie.
I'd love to see it. I haven't seen it that much, but when I do, it fills my heart.
No, yeah, I've only seen a handful of examples. Granted, they've all been online, nothing in person.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I've seen the sweet moments where, like, the people playing instruments on their balcony in Italy, or
and the people that are using this time, like Patrick Stewart, he's reading, I think, Shakespearean sonnets.
Yes.
I love that.
Sheryl Crow is doing a song a day.
Yeah.
Tom Chapin and his daughters are doing little concerts every day. Mm-hmm. They let the penguins out of the zoo to walk around the zoo because there's nobody around, and this lets them get out and look at the fish tanks, and it's a cute,
a little bit more exercise.
I love that, though. Like, that's why not do that? You know, things like that. The downside is, well, to a lesser degree, I'm watching people that, how do I put it? It sounds cynical, but darn it, I don't mind. People who have delusions of grandeur who, and I've seen this a lot because I've been suckered into clicking on somebody's video. Oh, they're doing a watch party. All right, let's see what this is. I don't know if they're showing a TV show or whatever. But these people who assume people want to see them with... they think they have more talent than they do. I don't want to see Connor Schmoozula from down the block sitting there with this shirt over his head, slapping his belly for 2 minutes, thinking that's entertainment. Or there's another guy who I saw who does, you know, you can stretch your face through an iPhone or whatever.
Something
and I'm
like
doing
that,
a character. And boy, this coronavirus is Shecky Green, you're not. You know, there's people who, like I said, delusions of grandeur. I'm a singer-songwriter, but unless somebody asks me to do a live whatever, I'm not putting my face out there because nobody asked me. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like everybody and their brother now thinks they're the best entertainment in the world. So throughout the last 2 weeks, every video I'm clicking on, I'm like, I got to shut, you know, I turn it off right away, or I'll turn it on for a minute just to give them a chance and think, who are you? Oh, you're the kid from down the block, or the guy, you know, from the neighborhood who thinks he's going to be a star now.
Yeah.
So that aggravates the living crap out of me.
Something like that. I mean, I haven't seen anything like that, but
count your blessings.
I would take it as people are just bored as hell and they're trying to do something to not necessarily entertain others, but maybe entertain themselves.
There's part two. The other problem I have, and this just, okay, there's two other things, but this goes hand in hand with this.
The offshoot of the previous one.
We live in a world where since 1955, we have a television set in our house. I don't want to hear about, I'm bored, I'm going out of my mind. Use the time and be freaking creative. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to write the novel
or whatever. Yeah.
But for the love of God, I don't want to hear, I don't feel bad for anybody who says they're bored. Do something.
Oh, yeah. There's books. There's
family.
There's movies. Heck, I saw a video earlier today as I was getting caught up on my daily YouTube watches mm-hmm. that somebody's like, yeah, for the first time and probably before dial up, I did a puzzle with my wife. I'm like, right. Okay, that's cool. You know,
right.
Find something to do. I mean, this is,
you know, if I didn't have to worry about money, I would be thrilled to be stuck at home with my family mm-hmm. because besides TV and movies, you're relaxed. You know, whenever I thought about this today, I'm at work because I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, people who go, boy, you know, if only I had the time to learn the cello or whatever. Oh, I just never found the time. I never found the time to do blah, 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 because life got in the way. Well, guess what? Now's your moment.
Now you have that luxury, yeah.
So I hate that.
Yeah, it's the people that are so quick to focus on the negative but not mm-hmm. realize that there is positives from this.
There's great stuff going on.
Like I was telling Jess this morning, you know, she's getting caught up on doing research for her podcast topics.
Which, by the way, can I just interrupt and say, they're kicking butt with as far as their content. It's a two girls sitting around picking their nose just talking about crime and how it's bad. There's knowledge in those episodes.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'll sit, I get it. I sympathize with you now because, well, I don't know exactly what you do with when you edit these, but mm-hmm. with theirs, I'm sitting here with the headphones on. Mm-hmm. You know, granted, I put the microphone up, so, you know, that's not poking me in my chin.
Sure.
But I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the podcast, and in my head, every now and then they'll have a long pause, and I'm like, okay, stop it, go back, trim that pause down, because sometimes a pause is,
yeah,
it works with what they're talking about because you just need that moment of digestion. Oh my God, that was a heavy topic, or sure. you know, and otherwise I just go in and I nip little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, and sometimes they'll go off on a bit of a tirade and they're like, oh shoot, Nate, could you edit this part out? Okay, not a problem. Mm-hmm. And it's all of a sudden gone, you know. Mm-hmm. But there are times where I'm sitting here listening to the podcast and I'm just like, wow, that's a heavy topic, mm-hmm. you know, because you can't help but listen to it if you're
editing
listening
it?
To it yeah. as you're editing it, you know. But the upcoming episode dealing with the Malaysian flight, mm-hmm. which I believe is this upcoming Tuesday's episode. Boy, howdy, that's a heavy one.
Well, can I tell you, I mean, much like everything that you do that I'm always impressed by, mm-hmm. yay for her for not just coming home, watching TV and going to bed. She's doing something creative and putting it out in the world.
Yeah, every day we try to sit down and get caught up on the shows that had been currently going. Now, unfortunately, Flash and mm-hmm. Legends are on a break for another week or two, which,
whatever.
Typical TV thing. But so she's like, okay, well, we don't need to catch up on anything because we're still current. I'm like, okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go hop in on the office. I'm going to start working on stuff for the business. You just, you know, do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. So she watched a couple episodes of a show that a friend of hers had recommended, and then she comes in, she goes, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do the other part of my research for an upcoming episode. Okay, not a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, God love her, she's the episode's going to be around Fyre Festival and just the true crime related stuff associated with that. So she's got her notebook and she watched the one documentary yesterday. Now, the documentary was like an hour and a half. It took her 4 hours because she'd stop or she'd pause it, rewind it.
Yep.
So she's getting their quotes right, yep. getting the information, getting it. And God love her. I am over the moon that she's doing that level of detail for these podcast episodes.
And we'll I know tell everybody what the name of the podcast is.
It is called Studying Scarlet.
Okay.
It's here on iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere you can listen to our stuff. Mm-hmm. You can listen to their stuff as well. Because I figured if I already figured out how to do it for our stuff, why not just mm-hmm. use that knowledge to my advantage?
And I'll tell you this, too. The editing will get easier
as they do more episodes, because they're going to get before you with Nick or whoever. There was a learning curve, and
oh yeah,
you know. But by the time I got you on here, I knew how to keep it fluid, and you're good at talking, so there was no information out.
Yeah, the problems I tend to run into it with them is the long pauses as they're gathering their thoughts and stuff like that. Sure. And that's relatively easy. You just, when you load that audio and you're like, okay, there's a long stretch of a gap here, so I know that's an area I'm going to have to pay attention to, you know. And then just doing the layering of everything, of like the background music and the intro and outro, which I was smart. I had them record the intro and outro separately so that I can just tack those in. And I had even recorded my portion of their intro, which I had a blast with that. That was fun.
But see, making something and putting it out there. This is why it drives me nuts to watch people post things that, you know, let's have a little humility. I'm not cramming my stuff or our stuff down people's throats. If you want to listen, it's there.
Yeah, now this does give us the opportunity, like for me, with Dark Operations, which I've been doing that audio series as well. Which
are you doing that? Is that now going to be an ongoing audio?
Well, it's going to be hopefully ongoing. However, there's a caveat. I have to do the Mercy episode and Missouri episode, and those are episodes that we had filmed. But, you know, CGI being expensive and us not having that, you know, disposable income, I'm going to convert those into audio format. Now, the real nugget of trouble there, I should say, is going to be I have to edit it entirely. I can't cheat and just take the pilot episode and nip it in half. There's part one, there's part two.
Sure.
This is going to be one where I am literally building it from the ground up, from the audio, from the, well, I have all the audio, I have all the files. I just have to go in and trim them down and, you know, so it's going to be
the music blend. I know.
Yeah. That's, I'm dreading it, but I'm also kind of looking forward to it because it's going to be something I haven't done yet.
And then once you do it, it's going to be much easier.
Oh yeah. And then the follow up episode will be a little bit easier. And then at that point, it'll be evaluating to see if the people who've listened, God willing they will, are interested in hearing more. And at that point, it's, okay, Royce and I have to sit down and say, okay, are we going to look at this as a viable way to continue the story so that we can give the story between the pilot and the end, which is Terminus, the miniseries. And there's even the possibility that once Terminus is done and released, I can go ahead and convert that so that when theoretically we get to that point in the story, well, there you go. It's already there.
And there's also, I believe you had a story idea all your own too.
Yes.
Your baby.
That unfortunately got put on the back burner a bit, which I got to sit down and see if I can get back up with the guy that was helping consult on that. But I'm hoping, regardless of what happens with Dark Operations, I'll be able to work on getting some form of a story out there. Whether it's going to be Dark Operations, it's going to be my own, maybe a collaboration, I don't know. But I'd like to see, knowing how much I've been enjoying the audio end of things, I'm curious to see how that's going to go.
Well, before we go down another rabbit hole, let me tell you that last thing that I'm noticing because of this whole coronavirus thing. And this isn't really a political statement. It is what it is, because I believe you'll agree with the observation that the moment that Trump got elected, not even put in the White House, if you'll recall, the negative dark side of the world, the people, all went, we have free reign now. Our guy is in the White House. We could say whatever we want. We can do whatever we want. Let's have Nazi rallies, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. I know you and I, back when that happened, we did
vent.
We did do an episode, I think, entirely of us just venting about it, which...
Well, it was the beginning of one of them. It was a MacGyver episode.
Yeah, for better or worse, unfortunately, it was what it was at the time. With what's going on right now, you definitely see that ramped up.
I'm seeing the continuation of what? We win now. Our guys in the White House, we can take and hoard and not care about our fellow man.
Yeah, and that's the part that's just astounding. It's like I'd seen a report last week. There was a guy in, I want to say it was Tennessee, it might have been Kentucky. It was in that area, where he had gone to went across the border to multiple states and was gathering up hand sanitizer and other things of that nature that
for his
are
bunker.
Needed. No, not for his bunker. To turn around and sell on Amazon.
Oh, you.
And he was price gouging. Now, fortunately, unfortunately, they didn't get to it right away because apparently their algorithm didn't catch on.
Sure.
But they had several complaints lodged against this guy because he was taking a... Now, folks aren't going to be able to see this because, Mac and I are doing a video chat. But this bottle is probably close to the equivalent of a 12-ounce bottle.
A glass Coca-Cola bottle.
An old-school glass Coca-Cola bottle, yeah. He was selling what would be the equivalent of hand sanitizers of that for $70.
See? Scumbag piece of garbage.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is the attorney general for the state that he's in demanded or forced him to get rid of the stuff by donating it. And I believe he is also seeking federal charges because he crossed state lines to war profit or profit off of an epidemic.
Good. Good. Love it. Good. Nail him to the wall. Mm-hmm. I saw
people like that need to be made an example of because I'm sorry, but
without
numb nut, 25-year-old whatever former military dude seeming to think, I'm going to make six figures off of this. You trying to make six figures off of that turns around and that little old lady that went into the store after you, who actually needs the hand sanitizer because she's elderly and she has health concerns and whatever.
She didn't have to justify herself. Everybody should get what they want. Yes.
She should be able to get the one or two bottles that she probably needs to ensure that she's healthy for her family.
I got one for you.
It's just astounding.
Wait. When this started, the day of or maybe the next day, when you first started to hear about people buying out all the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was a quick video that somebody posted where they caught it in a store. I thought it was a joke at first because it seemed so cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Some woman, and again, it's right in the middle of it. It didn't show the buildup. It was somebody who had their phone and went, ooh, I got to get this. A little old lady was reaching up to get the last pack of toilet paper. A woman in her, we'll say 50s, had a shopping cart full of it already.
Mm-hmm.
Was trying to take it. As the old lady reached up and was bringing it down, this woman walks up and tries to take it right out of her hands.
Jesus.
Exactly. They start struggling, and the little old lady swings at her with their open, like an open hand, swings at her
like
face.
Like an open hand slap.
They are fighting over the last bundle of toilet paper. And a gentleman who, a couple people who were in the aisle rush over, and this guy pushes them apart. Not pushes, but, gets in between them.
Yeah,
and says,
puts himself in between them.
Hey. Stop it. It's toilet paper. And as he's saying that, the woman who already had, and I'm not exaggerating, it was just toilet paper in the shopping cart that was already filled, starts to walk away. Like she's not going to continue it because they got snagged. And she saw the guy with the camera.
And as he's saying, it's toilet paper, she's already walking away. And let the old lady, you know, all right, there, you have one pack of, what, six rolls of toilet paper. Yeah. And I just thought, and I don't think people are making the connection that I made with the whole Trump thing. Let me tie it together, because a week before this coronavirus thing happened, Trump came to town. It was a Thursday or a Friday. I was taking Mikey skiing, his first time skiing.
Yeah, I remember seeing the photos.
Yeah, and side note, he did amazing.
I was going to say, it looked like he had a blast.
I filmed him going down his second time. I didn't get the first one because I thought he might fall, but he didn't.
Well, yeah, you don't want to have video evidence possibly embarrassing your kid.
But
I got
he caught on to it right away, and we spent the day on the bunny hill, and I had the best skiing partner. Anyway.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you guys had fun.
Me too, and I'm glad we did it when we did it, because it was almost postponed.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been postponed indefinitely because of what's going on now. So,
oh, yeah.
Anywho, we have to get our tickets from a buddy who goes skiing all the time. He's part of a ski club. He'll get you a deal, but you have to give him the money on Friday. And then it had to have been Friday. And then on Sunday is when you go. So the town was already police heavy. Coming from work to their house, I picked up the kids from school, went to drop off the money. Cops are everywhere because he's coming from the airport. I'm in the house with them, shooting the bull, and you hear, woo,
how'd you do?
Going by. And he goes, hey, kids, look at it. You could hear it. That's Trump going by. That's the president. And I pause, and the kids and I look at each other, and I go, all right, well, we're going to get going, because I don't want to know if they're Trumpers.
Right.
Because it is such a clear dividing line, and I like these people, and I want to remain their friend. So yeah, I don't want to dig any deeper and touch on it, because if they say they are, we got to go our separate ways.
Yeah, because unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but the vast majority of the people that are, as you said, the Trumpers, they tend to lean heavily into that ideology.
Right.
And that ideology borders very, unfortunately, very heavy into cult-like mentality.
Without a doubt. Oh, mindless.
Oh, this person can't do anything wrong. Right. Oh, you know, they're going to tell us the truth, nothing but the truth.
Even one time he said something that was God, you know, quoting the New Testament, so therefore, ergo, so I could blindly follow him because he's a God-fearing man. No, he's not.
Yeah,
no, he's not. He uses what he can use to get people on his side, and you suckers fell for it. So
yeah, and it's unfortunate. I mean, now that doesn't necessarily, you know, that's a whole diatribe you and I could get into for hours.
Right.
But yeah, it's unfortunate that we have to be cautious of that. I mean, it just falls into the whole old adage, you know, you don't talk to people about religion and politics.
Right, right. And you should respect people and their differences and all that. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what happened. Here's why I bring it up. The next day or that night, they're showing it on the news of people downtown. Now, they give a minute for the cluster of people that didn't go in to see him, but stood outside with their signs. They interview the people who don't like Trump. And the woman said, you know, he's dividing our country. If I had a chance, I would tell him, please stop. You're not helping the world. You're dividing people. So that was her quick clip. The other side that they show, and the one guy who was standing behind the guy who talked, I know, I've met him. He had worked with my wife. Nice guy, but wrong on everything on this topic. But I digress. He's him and his biker buddies are wearing their vests, their denim vests with their American flag patches and their skull and crossbones on this side or whatever their clan is.
Accoutrements, yeah.
Accoutrement, yeah. They, the guy talking for them, and remember, they have all their vested buddies behind them. He says, and again, you're going to pick up on this, but I don't think anybody who supports Trump will think this is wrong. He says, you know, I don't get it. We're richer now than we were. We're making more money than we ever did. I don't, what, they want to vote him out of office? That doesn't make sense to me. Why would you want to vote him out of office? We're making more money. Pause. Two major things wrong with this, because Cindy and I, of course, I share this with her. Two thoughts. Who's making money? I'm not making money. I know Biker Boy hasn't made any more money. Who is brainwashing you to think that because he's president that our income has gone up at all?
And here's the thing, and I often have to have this conversation with people. People have this weird fascination with the stock market. Oh, well, the stock market's doing really well, so we're richer, we're richer.
We?
The stock market is not the same thing as the economy.
Right.
The only people making money off of the stock market are the people who are wealthy enough to be able to throw money into the stock market and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to pay for my child's medical bill? Am I going to be able to afford to get my parents' groceries because they're shut in because of this virus? You know,
right.
The economy is not the same thing as the stock market. It is a very false narrative that one and the other are the same. They are not.
So that's the one side of it. The other thing that's wrong with this. No, you said it perfectly. It better than I would have.
Yeah.
So
like the economy does not get affected by the stock. Sorry, I got to finish this.
No, do it.
Thought. The stock market does not affect the economy. It doesn't.
Right.
However, the stock market is affected by the economy. And we're seeing that right now by it constantly dropping down low and getting a bump up whenever, you know, somebody gets on and starts their propaganda chest pounding and whatnot.
Exactly. There's no thought to it. It's just mindless. Yeah. No. This is what he said, so we're going to repeat it.
Yeah, it's like that doctor, it's an older guy with glasses. He gets on there and he's like, I don't know what his position in the government is, but he seems to be a better facilitator of information than 90% of the other people that get up there at that podium and are running their mouth. It's like, let the doctor talk. Let him get the information out to people so that we know what's actually going on. Stop trying to, you know.
I love that Trump runs his mouth. By the way, do you notice he can't read cue cards? This is the first time he's been forced to read a cue card or a monitor. Mm-hmm. Every other president has speech writers that they listen to and will read the monitor. Mm-hmm. This clearly shows two things. He never read a monitor before. He just runs his mouth. Two, when he's forced to, he can't read. The president of the United States stutters over coronavirus. He can't say it.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is he wants to call it the Chinese virus or whatever.
Right. That's not insulting
nonsense.
At all.
Whatever racist nonsense that he wants to try to push on people, it's frustrating.
The other part of it is that's hilarious because they're saying, boy, if anybody had any doubt that he's a moron, his ineptitude, this is not something he could Twitter away or bullcrap his way through for morons to agree.
Although I'm
with.
Sure he will.
He's trying. And that's what I'm saying. He's up there going, yeah, this will be over by this weekend. Little doctor guy runs in from the side and goes, No, it won't. No, it won't. It have the whole 2 weeks have been them jumping in front of him going, stop listening to Orange Guy. Listen to us.
And the fact that like he's dangerously recommending people trying medicines and stuff that are not designed for this.
I know.
That's terrifying.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And sadly enough, I think there's actually been a couple cases where people have died because of it. And it's like, oh, my God.
Well, here's the other point to that whole money. We're making more money.
Mm-hmm.
The other point that it points out, and this is the part that I don't think a lot of people are going to notice that support him, as what's wrong with that, they're thinking. So it points to your soul. The fact that you are, I want me and mine. That's all I care about. Give me and mine, which connects hand in hand with the people who are taking more than they need from the grocery store because mm-hmm. they don't care about your neighbor. They don't care about your grandparents. Me and mine. They're saying, so what? People who are listening to this are going to go, who support Trump are going to go, darn right, America first, me and mine. Mm-hmm. Shame on you. This is that lack of soul. And this type of thing point shows, again, that clear divide between
people. I'd made a post on Facebook earlier in the week.
Saw it.
Or it might have been last week. I don't even remember. The days are going together because I have the luxury of working from home. I know what day it is based off of if my wife and our roommate go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're not going to work, I lose track of all sense of time.
Right.
Anyway, but I had made a post on Facebook, and like I worked on that for like a good hour as I was typing it up because I'm like, I want to make sure that my points are concise and clear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will give me a tick, I'm actually going to go ahead and read it for our listeners because I think it might hopefully illustrate, in my humble opinion, some rather truthful sentiments.
Right. Yeah, so I just read it while I was waiting for you. I was like,
there you go. Good. All right, so here's what I had written. I know everyone is on edge with anxiety and depression from the state of our world right now. Heck, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't scared about the lasting impacts this will have on not only myself, but my friends and family. This is going to be a tough time and will most definitely have lasting effects. What those will be, nobody knows. Please remember, times like this, we are seeing people's true colors.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the people and companies that put profit over public health. Remember those that put their own selfish needs before others. Remember those that add to the panicked state by spreading rumor, theories, and on good authority, instead of letting actual news and information coming from our officials. History will not look kind on them. People need to remember our actions online have the same ripple effects as they do in the real world. They can be good or bad. For example, when we share pictures of grocery aisles picked clean, we inadvertently add to the panic buying mentality that everybody is being hit by,
mm-hmm.
which in turn causes more panic buying. Or spreading rumors could cause people to suffer full-blown panic attacks, or heaven forbid, something worse. And with our healthcare system as it is, that could be fatal for some. I plan to do my part and spread a bit of joy, positively and humor, when I can. The human race is very adaptable. We have been for thousands of years. We will get through this.
Right. Honestly, like I said, luckily for me, it's just it's an inconvenience. It's not a... it's not affecting me, thankfully, like it is unfortunately affecting others job-wise.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, fortunately, I work from home, and my biggest concern was, am I going to still be able to ship stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'd gone to the post office last week on Tuesday, I asked the guys behind the counter, I'm like, are you guys still going to be running postal things, because I know everything's in flux, nobody knows exactly what's going on. And they had said, because we ship things, we are considered essential, so somebody will always be here. We may not necessarily have the full stock, full staff, but mail will run. I'm like, okay, that's ultimately what I needed to know. So, you know, we're still shipping stuff out, still only, you know, 2 days a week, but, you know, granted, you know, not that I'm anticipating a run on, you know, a goofy ID card or Lucifer coins or whatever, but if somebody buying a $5 item off my website gives them that little spark of joy or what have you, I'm going to send it.
Of course. You know, it, well, did you right hear... Did you hear the news that broke about Diamond?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Well, Diamond is the the people who ship comics.
Oh, okay.
They said as of April 1st, they're not shipping anything.
Oh, wow.
Which is bad, because people need their comics. And I don't mean you and me. I mean the comic book store who's barely hanging on.
Yeah.
You know, they're well, doing that... the one in my neighborhood, Comics on the Green, they're doing curbside service, or they were until now you can't do that, but they're still shipping everybody their comics. Well, now if there's no new comics coming in, ruh-roh.
Yeah, that's going to be rough. Oh, well, I mean, this past weekend, I think, was the first weekend in 26 years that there was no box office numbers.
What about that? I mean, it's weird to see everything shutting down.
Well, and the fact that it was the first time in 26 years, which I would have put money on that it would have been longer than that, but apparently 26 years ago, there was some kind of calculating error or something that prevented them from getting the numbers out. So it's surreal. Like, movies are getting pushed back from
Wonder Woman.
Black Widow, Wonder Woman. Now, Wonder Woman, I think, got an actual
August date.
August, yeah, 14th or something like that. Black Widow has not been announced when they're going to do their announcement.
You know why? What they're trying to do, and this would be nice if it helps, instead of it waiting for the theater, make it available for people to buy through their home right now.
Yeah, that could be good. I know they've, I forget what production company is doing it, but they've worked in conjunction with, I think, a service called Vudu and
that's what
Amazon Prime, where you can, for $20, you get the movie for 48 hours. The Invisible Man horror flick that was supposed to come out, I think, this past weekend.
And Bloodsport.
Bloodsport or Bloodspot or Shot or something like that. Vin Diesel flick.
Shot. It's based on a comic.
Yeah, Bloodsport, I thought.
Whatever.
It's a Vin Diesel flick. Yeah, The Hunt and a couple other films are now available for $20 online. And I saw a couple people complaining about that. I'm like, guys, the movie is not going to get the theater release.
Right.
They're releasing it so that you can watch it. Now, granted, you know, $20 seems like a lot. Yes, but say you and I are living in the same house and you're like, hey, I want to rent this movie. You're spending $20 for two people to watch it. Okay, right. That seems to be on parable with going to the movie theater. All right, situation like with you've got. You, your wife, and the two kids. Well, that's now suddenly four people for $20.
And also,
you're getting a better deal.
Let them make out to... They're trying to make it available for us to see and also make a profit. If this is a limited thing, just do it.
Yeah, they could have been an a-hole and be like, yeah, no, we're going to just postpone it until this whole thing blows over. Right. They could have done that, and you would have been SOL.
Right.
Now, the other thing that I noticed, I was thinking about this, I'm like, well, $20 for it. I get it for 2 days, basically, to watch. That's not bad. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I can pause the film, go to the bathroom so I'm not going to miss anything. I can eat my own popcorn. Heck, I could have a burger and a beer and watch a flick if I wanted.
And you could watch it 12 times.
Theoretically, yeah. You know, as long as I can fit them in that window of opportunity. It's like, how many times do we see people saying, oh, yeah, I saw that movie. It was so good. I watched it 12 times.
Right.
Well, it's 12 times. You just spent $10 plus whatever you ate.
That's right.
Plus the gas money and all that stuff.
Yep. Nobody's thinking about that. Everybody wants to just complain.
It's just mind-boggling, but yeah,
So let's talk about fun things now that we've shared experiences. Talking about, as I said, too many people are showing themselves on social media when nobody asked them to. Mm-hmm. I got, and you'll appreciate this because this benefits all of us, friend of the show, Ona, I believe is how you say her name.
Okay.
She has been very good in connecting me with people who have appeared on this podcast and the MacGyver podcast. She's like their manager, mm-hmm. Ona, O-N-N-A, and her car, Carol. A little shout out for her. She sent an invite for me to take part in a Comic-Con online.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, because of the Corona thing, you can't do it in person. But within the next 2 weeks, she's going to have Moncton Comic-Con is part of this. And for however much, people can buy their way into this. Not me. I would be featured. But
yeah, you'd be people who would attend it
would pay to be part of it and jump around through it. And she asked if I would be interested in being one of the featured people.
That's cool.
So also, I wonder if I could do a 30-minute Facebook Live feature on their page for fans to watch during the coronavirus quarantine. So, yeah, I'll gladly do that.
That's cool.
Isn't that flattering?
That's really cool. Yeah.
I love that. That's the thing. They think enough of us to want me to do that.
And the fact that, you know, there's cancellation con, there's a lot of people are trying to use this as an opportunity. Like, yeah, we understand, you know, conventions are being canceled or postponed and everything. Yeah. We understand that, but we're seeing a lot of people trying to do good in that spectrum or in that vacuum. Like, there's a couple people that are posting, you know, hey, here are vendors that are going to be missing out on shows. If they've got stuff that you're interested in, maybe kick them a couple bucks for something. You know, it's like, that's good. Yeah. Like, there's a convention that was supposed to happen in Washington State, Emerald City Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
They postponed it, till next year. So everybody there kind of got left, not high and dry, you know, everybody got compensated and all that stuff. But one of the companies that is involved with that convention said, we're going to do a digital version of the convention. All the vendors, you know, give us your information. If you got like little videos or whatever, showcasing your stuff, showcasing your art, you know, we'll try to do Q&A through like Facebook, live videos, things like that. We'll try to accommodate for the way the world is right now. It's like, you know what? That's fantastic. This is an example of what Mr. Rogers would say, look for the people doing good.
Yep, that's right. You know. And I'm telling you, I'm flattered. Thank you, Ona. That, you know, that means the world. Yeah. And I'm, you know, hey, if I could spread the word about all the hard work that we do, yay.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic.
Right. And there's a way to, people could buy autographs from you. I don't think anybody necessarily want my autograph, but, you know, they'll at least be pointed in my direction to help them point to our stores and
I'm sure people would probably get a kick out of the shirt designs or stickers or
and they're cheap enough
pins.
And one of the ones we were supposed to go to was Chiller in April, but now that's postponed, so they're trying to get everybody who was supposed to be there to now come back at a later date. They picked a date in June, I think, but who knows if this will be over by then.
Well, that's something that a lot of people are not realizing, you know, as these things get postponed, celebrities aren't necessarily going to be able to sit on their laurels and just, you know, not necessarily get a paycheck. Everyone's like, oh, well, these celebrities shouldn't complain and blah, blah, blah. It's like, guys, you realize they don't have the consistency of, you know, a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
It's like, yeah, they may be coming from a place of privilege and complaining about, you know, what would be inconveniences for the most of us, but, you know, they're human too. They have every right to be unhappy with what's going on, you know.
Exactly.
Hopefully most of them are trying to do good things. Like, I saw Kristen Bell apparently was teasing her husband because he'd gotten back from some business trip or whatever, and he was doing a self-quarantine at a friend's house who wasn't home. Mm-hmm. So her and the kids went over and were tormenting him outside the house. I'm like, I love that. That's so cute.
Well, I love that Ryan Reynolds, he's rightfully so poking fun at the celebrities who did that whole Imagine video.
Yeah.
I thought that was so gag worthy.
It was acute, and I know most of their hearts were probably
in the right place, without a doubt.
And this goes, unfortunately, this can be said with celebrities, amateurs, moderate professionals, whatever. When you're doing a strung together video like that, inadvertently, it 99% of the time ends up being cringeworthy.
Right. And the way he put it was, oh, good, that's what we need, celebrities to tell us how everything's going to be okay. It's, you know, we turn to the celebrities during these crisis moments, not the healthcare workers or the doctors or the maintenance people or the people that can remove a hangnail. You know, he starts going down the list just to point out how stupid, like, get over yourself type of thing.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm pretty sure it was meant as a, you know, trying to give people a little bit of good, maybe a little bit of entertainment.
Right, right. And I hate that freaking song anyway, so that didn't help. And then the music critic in me is cringing because they're not singing it in the same key. They chopped it up, so everybody's off, and just, it was a nightmare for me. Something I thought was going to be cute, I'm like, oh, no. I had to poo-poo on it, I guess.
Yeah.
But also, everybody, here's some news. As of today, episode 10 of the MacGyver SG-1 audio series is out. And there's some surprises within that.
Yeah, there's a number of surprises. I will say, though, technically, I did have it up yesterday, but for some reason, the interface was being wonky. We'll get that fixed. But
it's not your fault. It's,
but hey, at least I got caught up to date before everybody else did.
Yes, you did. It was basically a two-part chapter.
Yeah.
You like?
I enjoyed it. After our conversation off audio was resolved, I'm like, okay, now it makes sense why I was confused. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I actually was listening to it while I was working on reorganizing the office, and I was listening to the first part, and I've got my back and I got my earbuds in, and I'm working and, you know, focusing on the music and everything, and focusing on the story and everything. And Jess came into the office, nearly gave me a freaking heart attack because I was so focused on what I was physically doing, but also hearing what I was listening to. I didn't even realize she'd come into the room, and I think I almost startled her almost as much as she startled me. But I've been enjoying it, and I'm happy that I'm caught up now.
Yeah, me too. Because again, I'm like, oh, he's going to hate me for this. This ends on a cliffhanger at this point. You know, like the episode 9 ends on a cliffhanger.
On a cliffhanger, and then it sort of a cliffhanger after that. I mean, it's a continuous story, so each one's going to be sort of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to see where it's going to go. I'm intrigued by some of the choices you made in the story, particularly that last kind of bombshell, I guess you want to say.
Yep.
But I'm curious to see how it's going to all come together.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't heard it yet, but there is a twist. Actually, there's a twist through the whole thing, really, if you think of who I've brought in. But that last one, it made sense, you know, and it's a fun
thing to do. Well, I mean, that's
the beauty of an original story. You can take it how you want.
Well, yeah, but again, I have a responsibility to do it right. It's not about what I want. It's about the characters and what makes sense. And at this moment, I thought, boy, that's fun. This is the opportunity. If I'm going to come in from the left side there and surprise people, this is that moment in the story, you know, because it wouldn't make sense. If I tried to do it any other moment for any other reason, it would feel ham-fisted and insincere. Mm-hmm. Where in this case, I'm like, nope, this works. And if I don't know if you've noticed with the audio, I'm playing with both sides of the speaker.
I noticed that this episode, because I actually stopped. I like paused it, and I'm like, did I like crank my headset? What's going on here? And I rewound it a little bit, and I listened to it again, and I'm like, okay, no, that he must be just trying to have different, fun with trying to make things sound.
Well,
where
different shots are coming from different distances.
Directions.
So instead of it being straight in your face all the time, you can hear it come from the left. Sometimes they come from the right. And especially when they overlap, it's coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Which was exactly, especially, it's a big battle episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And it felt like that audibly.
Good. That's exactly what I wanted. And yeah. Mm. I'm glad. I'm thrilled you got to hear it. So yeah, keep up, will you?
Yeah, well, I'm caught up now, so.
What else? What else? What else? Well, nobody's gone anywhere, so there really isn't that many outside of the... Well, all right, here's a little side nugget. Cindy's car died.
Oh, no.
I'm like, well, if it's got to go Saturday or Sunday, she went to go food shopping, and she went... And it went click, 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 click. And our thought was it's the alternator. Right?
Could be the
typically
starter.
If it goes click, 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 click. Oh, boy. Well, we're trying to get a hold of our local mechanic, trying to help, you know, give business to the guy. He's not calling us back. Well, thank God for moments like that, because if he had, we would have had to have the car towed to him. And then he would have looked at it. Well, he never called us back, and my father called and said, it's the battery. I said, I thought if it's the battery, you get nothing. Right? Because if you turn it,
I would think that,
there's nothing. That means it's the battery. If it's going click, 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 it's the starter or alternator or whatever. So we went out and jumped it yesterday, and thank God it was the battery.
Okay.
So now she went out today to start it. It started again, but we're going to get a new battery Saturday. She's going to run down and, you know. But that's
might
another
be better
business.
Might be better for her to drive down instead of run down. I mean.
Hey, as long as she comes back with the battery, I'm happy.
Well, this whole, with everything going on right now, like I was telling Jess, it's a shame we don't have the material to do things around the house that I wanted to do. Like, I'd like to build a small deck out back of the house. Well, can't do that because I don't have the material. And I had talked to my dad like a week or two before this everything, and he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, this is what the material is going to run you, and that's with a 5% buffer just in case the price influxes because of everything that's on the horizon. Well, I had earmarked $100 on top of what he guesstimated. So I'm like, we should be good. Unfortunately, we didn't save up the money for it, and we haven't gone to get that stuff. So that's a project that we can't do. Yeah. Another project that I wanted to do was patio area off the deck. Can't do that because we have the gazebo that would be on top of the patio, just not the patio. It's like, all right, that's two projects I can't do. I'm like, son of a bee, what am I going to do? So one thing that we have been doing is working on getting recessed lighting in our living room.
Okay.
My brother had come over the other weekend when Jess was out of town to visit her dad. And you know, he and I were working on that. And thank goodness I didn't went ahead and preliminary like mark on the ceiling where the holes were going to be, because when houses are built, you know, they lay the rafters out from one end of the house, 16 inches on centers where the thing's going to be. But, you know, unless you built the house, you're not going to know which side of the house they started that on. And the reason why that's important is because as they get towards the end of building the house, if say the house ends up having 18 or 20 inches left between the last rafter and the exterior wall, they're just going to skip that rafter that would have been at the 4-inch mark from the wall.
Right.
You know, so your rafters are going to be, it's going to appear as if your rafters are inaccurate from one end of the house compared to the other.
Right.
Might sound confusing to our listeners, but trust me, it makes sense. So my brother and I are up in the attic measuring where these holes are going to be cut. And he's like, these are not lining up. What the, you know, and then he had that memory of, oh shoot, that's right. They probably started laying these at the other end of the house. So we adjusted for that because the first, second, and fourth lights would have been perfectly placed. But the third light would have been right in the middle of one of these rafters, which you can't, well, theoretically you could cut into the rafter so that you could insert a light, but when you go to sell the house would never pass inspection because
right.
that rafter is no longer structurally true or sound. Right. So my brother and I are sitting up in the attic measuring, jotting down if whether, you know, adjusting the placement, the distance in between them, measuring, okay, third one's going to work, but now the second one's not going to work. You know, adjust the measurement. Okay, these will work. What about the center row lights, which are going to be offset? Dang it, those aren't going to work. So we had to constantly go back and forth on that, and we finally got it to work. But now the next leg of the work is he and I have to run a power line from the attic down to the light switch. Well, replace the light switch and then run it from the light switch up back into the attic, across the attic, and then down the wall to the junction box. So,
yeah.
Or breaker panel.
You guys have fun with that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a pain, but my brother's pretty sure that he and I can knock it out in like 2 hours. So.
See, and that's nice. Brothers doing things together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I look forward to the most, because he and I are doing a pretty good job with this. So,
yeah, one of the podcasts that were nice enough to reach out to us is one called From the Middle.
Okay.
And it's two brothers and a friend, and they kind of do what we do. They shoot the bull about things that they love in life, yada, yada, yada. But they're fun, and just wanted to give them a mention because they went in and liked what we did and gave us a nice review.
Oh, very cool.
And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do the same. I'll go back. And I went and listened and was really, really impressed with the fun energy that they have. And they're not morons who, you know, have to do pee-pee jokes or, you know, be crass and curse and all that garbage.
Yeah.
They're intelligent guys who are having an intelligent conversation about fun stuff. I said, that's what we try to do on all of ours.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, unfortunately, we do end up having to dip into heavier topics like we did earlier.
Which is good. Episode. And they do too.
Yeah. But we also try not to, you know, dwell on that either. I mean,
and preach.
Our views are our views. You know, we will respectfully listen to others as long as they don't try to tell us that, you know.
Well, whatever. That's another thing that I pointed out to Cindy. I said, you know, I'm looking through iTunes to find, you know, new podcasts to listen to. And there's one, History This Week, I believe it's called. That's a quick, like, 20-minute thing where you find out about the 1919 Boston molasses flood.
And I remember hearing or remember reading about that.
And it's basically
because of these events in history, why things are what they are now.
Right, like the ripple effects of this, yeah, this event in history.
And it's quick and it's fun. So I said to her, I said, look at this. There's a whole genre of the let me tell you how to live your life type of podcasts. I can't stand it. It's people telling you, well, let's breathe heavy and let me tell you about me and how I've found my core and my blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, now, I can see somebody doing a podcast like that saying, hey, you know, this is something that works for me. It may work for you. It may not. But the key is find something that does work for you. You know, right. Something like that makes more sense than this is works for me, so this is going to work for you. It's like our roommate. He is very homeopathic centric.
Explain.
Uses. He's not like the essential everyday anti-vaxxer, not nut job people.
Sure, sure.
And if you're an anti-vaxxer,
good luck.
I'm sorry.
To you.
but he will use like ginseng, I think, for headaches and like homegrown cures basically for things. Mm-hmm. And like he and I had gotten into an interesting conversation the one night because I had had my physical for the first time in 4 years. Mm-hmm.
I had to cancel and, mine was yesterday and I had to cancel.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Mine, fortunately, mine was right shortly before this whole mm-hmm. thing happened. And my triglycerol and cholesterol are elevated. Now, you know, if you're like me, what does that mean? I have no clue. Let's find out. So I asked the nurse who had called me. I said, okay, dumb it down for me. What's this mean? She goes, well, because we don't have anything to compare it to, your numbers are elevated compared to the average, the national average. I'm like, okay, what am I going to need to do to combat that? Mm-hmm. Well, you need to cut back your, I think she said, smoking, alcohol consumption, processed foods, and boxed foods. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't drink that often. I drink maybe once a month, and I'll have like one, maybe two drinks. Smoking, nope. I might have a cigar once a year, if that. And it's usually really short jobbies that are all flavor and no tobacco. So it's like, okay, so those two, I don't have to change those habits. Yay! Packaged food and processed food.
That'll get you.
That could be a problem.
Right.
So I've been making more food from scratch, mm-hmm. limiting, you know, takeout from multiple times a week to maybe once a week.
That's plenty.
You know, and that hopefully will adjust the numbers. Well, you know, our roommate is like, well, you know, you could take these for like a month before your next exam and not have to worry about changing those habits.
No.
Yeah, that's like sitting down and brushing your teeth the 3 days before you're going to see the dentist and act as if you've been brushing your teeth every single day. Mm-hmm. That's falsifying the information,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
just like, it's like.
And you're not trying to fool people. That's not the point of that.
No, because, you know, I want to be able to feel healthy. I want to, you know, not necessarily just look good, but also feel good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, exactly. Although I had to laugh, Jess has been giving me a little bit of grief because I'm not cutting out things entirely out of my diet, because cutting things out of your diet completely is how you end up backsliding more often than not.
Sure.
So instead of having, you know, a big bowl of chips like this big, I'm cutting it down to a bowl like mm-hmm. a fourth of the size, you know. Mm-hmm. And she came in and was chatting with me, and she's like, why do you smell like Doritos? I'm like, I shouldn't. She goes, okay, weird. I'm like, I should, however, smell like Fritos, because I'd had the equivalent of a handful of Fritos earlier. And she's like, I thought you were going to be cutting back, blah, blah. I'm like, I have. It was a small bowl instead of a large bowl, you know.
Well, so. For me, I've cut back on, I don't eat cakey things anymore. I don't really enjoy that. And it's funny, too, because your body will adjust. You start to not crave things. Like, things that are pastries or cakes, I don't really want. Mm-hmm. I typically, most of the time, won't have a snack after dinner. Because I don't need it. I don't need the bowl of ice cream. Now, lately, I have had a couple. But overall, I said to myself after, you know, I have high iron in my blood. Everybody has low iron. I have high iron. I had to go get the phlebotomies, which is a giant pain in the rear end. I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. What causes it? Well, do you eat a lot of shrimp? No. Do you eat a lot of red meat? Define a lot. I mean, not really. It's chicken most of the time. It turns out it was genetic. Both of my grandfathers had it.
Yeah, I have. Last time I had my blood, they didn't say anything with the blood work that was taken. But when I donated blood, they did the little drop test to see if you have high iron.
I can't do that anymore. I used to donate blood. They don't let me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because once you have high iron, they don't want it for the rest of your life because technically you still have it. Well, for the last 2 years, I haven't. But it made me go, all right, besides not wanting to gain weight, I don't want to ever do this again. Mm-hmm. So cut out cakey food, just basically eat healthier than I thought I already was. Mm-hmm. If I go to a birthday party, unless it's my own, I'm not eating the cake. Thank you. I don't need a piece. Don't eat something. If you're not hungry, don't eat it. And if you are hungry, eat an apple.
Yeah.
Like I'll have an apple every day.
Or another method or another thing that works is instead of having, you know, a slice of cake that's like 2 inches thick, cut it down to an inch or even a half inch. Just a sliver. Something. You don't need the full, you know.
And that's only if you're hungry. Only if you want a taste. Like too many times I think we eat out of habit or boredom or just like it's the polite thing to do.
Yeah, well, and I will agree, boredom eating is a real thing.
Sure. Absolutely. I know it because I'm at work working and I reach for something.
Mm-hmm. Like with something I did one of the last times we were at the grocery store was I'd gotten a done up applesauce and peaches.
Okay.
In juice, not in sugar. Or not in the syrup. So, you know, I'm kind of hungry, but not like famished. You know what? Grab one of those applesauces and eat that, and I'm good for a while. Mm-hmm. Or the peaches, or, you know, fruit cup, whatever, you know. And I think stuff like that is also a healthy practice. Even a handful of trail mix. Mm-hmm. Nuts and grapes and what's the other thing that's usually in there? M&Ms. You know, usually not heavy on the items, just, you know, a small splattering of it. So things like that also help practice healthy eating. So.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything drastic. And what if I drink soda, I'll drink like Coke Zero or whatever. I can't do diet. I tried that for a couple of years and I hate it so much. Yeah, but I'll drink a lot of flavored water, you know. And what happens is, your body just goes, all right, you're right. I don't want cakey things. Like every time I go to my mother, she's like, do you want a cookie? No. Oh, that's right. You don't eat cakey things now, do you? And she says it like she's mad at me. I'm like, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and you just, it's nice. But if you do decide to eat something that you stopped eating, you go, ooh, that was really good. I think I'm going to have another one. Now you're backsliding.
Well, yeah, that's why, you know, you have to do it in moderation and, you know, don't necessarily cut something out completely. Instead of having cookies every day, cut it back to like one, you know, you have two or three cookies one day.
And it should be a special thing, too. That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. It's past 7 and I know you wanted to be done. Oh, yeah. So let me wrap this up for everybody. So listen, like we said, new MacGyver SG-1 audio series episode is now up. Check it out. Also, please go to our homepage for the Forever Adventure Network.
Yeah, check it out.
You get everything there. I'm I'm so proud of that website. It's only growing. So we have Harmony Constant Music, this podcast, the MacGyver podcast, the audio series, stores, YouTube stuff, blogs on the Patreon. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Patreon.
Yep.
A little bit of money, especially during this time, wouldn't be a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, absolutely. A buck or two. Come on.
It doesn't have to be, you know, bank breaking.
And again, I'm dying to send people stuff, but I need them to donate to Patreon in order for me to send them little gifts.
Yeah.
Anything I'm missing?
No, we plugged Studying Scarlet. We plugged Dark Operations.
Yes.
Plugged Commission Credentials.
Yep, yep, yep. So, all good stuff.
Stores, I think we're good.
And you could find a lot of that through the Forever Adventure Network page, which, again, is growing. And hopefully the things that are mentioned that weren't there will soon be there, too. Your hub for anything you could want entertainment-wise is basically the goal. If you like adventure, you're going to like this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody.
I think people will enjoy the place to find all of it.
Right? I'm telling you, I'm proud. I'm onward and upward. So, all right, everybody. Absolutely. We will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay excited, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Music was provided by Harmony Constant. Subscribe to us on iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, and Stitcher.
The Forever Adventure Network. Welcome to the adventure.